The city council will come to order and the clerk will call the roll. Here.
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 Councilman Sinapi, if you could lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And I apologize because I didn't see these gentlemen in front of me. And they were supposed to lead us in the national anthem. So if we could do that one more time, and if you guys could project your voices to the crowd a little bit too. I apologize because I didn't see you down there. We'll do it one more time for them. Thank you.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The clerk's going to play the national anthem. If we could face the flag.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets' red glare, the
Thank you. Could you just tell us your names?
Jaden.
What's your last name, Jaden?
Leal.
Leal, okay.
Jack Sabatelli.
Jack Sabatelli, well, I wanted to thank you very much for doing the national anthem for us tonight, okay? Thank you. Could all be seated. The first item on the agenda is executive communications, and we do have on item number 14 that we'll be going into the executive session, but we do have a few presentations under general communications that we wanted to get done before that. So if you could bear with us without objection, we'll move to general communications, and I would call on Councilman Howe to come forward with his proclamations.
Mr. President, I would ask that Councilman McElroy join me. Thank you. So thank you, Mr. President, for this opportunity. My honorable colleagues of this council and Councilman McElroy, as we take a moment to honor some of Warwick's finest in the sense of people that have committed over 20 years of their lives to mold, train, teach, and mentor the youth within the city of Warwick. If I could ask Coach Jerry Sabatelli and Coach Joseph Leal to come on up, please.
It's not right here, buddy.
I know how much you love this. And I thank you guys for coming, and I want to thank the wives for getting them together. I know how hard that was, and for the children for coming and getting ready and taking time out of your family as well as the parents. I'll read on behalf of Coach Sabatelli, on behalf of the governing body of all citizens in our community, it gives a great deal of pleasure to express to Gerald Jerry Sabatelli, head coach of the Tollgate Varsity Wrestling Team, our sincere congratulations for an inspirational and exciting season. And whereas Coach Sabatelli is a lifelong Warwick resident and a graduate of Pilgrim High School, he was appointed head coach in the 1999-2000 season, division champions in 2017, 2019, and 2020. Coach celebrated his 300th win on February 5th, 2020, and whereas the team's accomplishments are consistent with head coach Sabatelli's dedication to academic excellence, personal growth, and team unity, and now, therefore, be it resolved that the mayor and the Warwick City Council honor Coach Sabatelli and the Tollgate Wrestling Team for their outstanding achievements and commend them for their display of sportsmanship and leadership. The city clerk is directed to forward this to Coach, and the resolution takes effect upon its passage.
Oh, you have yours?
And I would also like to say, on behalf of the governing body and all the citizens of our community, it gives us a great deal of pleasure to express to Joseph Joe Leal, assistant coach of the Tollgate Varsity Wrestling Team, our sincere congratulations for an inspirational and exciting season. And whereas Coach Leal is a lifelong Warwick resident and a graduate of Warwick Veterans Memorial High School, he was appointed assistant coach of the Tollgate Wrestling Team in the 2005-2006 season, becoming division champions in 2017, 2019, and 2020. Coach Leal celebrated his 200th win on February 5th, 2020, and whereas the team's accomplishments are consistent with assistant coach Leal's dedication to academic excellence, personal growth, and team unity, and now therefore be it resolved that the mayor and the Warwick City Council honor Coach Leal and the Tollgate Wrestling Team for their outstanding achievements and commend them for their display of sportsmanship and leadership. The city clerk is directed to forward a copy of this resolution to Coach Joseph Joe Leal. This resolution shall take effect upon its passage.
Coaches, thank you and congratulations. Coaches, before you go, I want to thank Chairwoman from the school committee, Karen Backus, here to witness this, and Superintendent Thornton for being here to witness this, and the community and the wrestlers and the parents of the wrestlers and the parents of the coaches and the family of the coaches. Thank you so much, because we do know the family, there's a lot of sacrifice, as we see, when you guys go 3 days a week at least to go to tournaments. And then on weekends, every other weekend, and then also coaching your own boys as you do, there's a lot of commitment. But, Coach, I wanted to give you the opportunity if you wanted to address anyone.
All right, sure. First off, just, I'm quite honored, as I'm sure Joe is. Just a little trivial thing. Councilman Sinapi wrestled for me years ago as well. I've been around, 22 years. And it seems like, every 6 or 7 years, we're hitting that 100 wins, and it's because of kids like these three that showed up that just dedicate themselves for three months. Wrestling's not an easy sport, and most of our kids that we get at Tollgate start in high school, and to be able to, win at least 3 out of the last 4 in our division is quite something, and it's a credit to their commitment and dedication along with their other teammates. So thank you for this great honor.
I'd also like to thank my team for standing behind Coach and I. They support us as much as we support them. They put in the hard work, and it really makes our job very easy. I would also like to thank my wife. You know, we spend countless hours practice. You know, we're not getting home until 6 o'clock in the evening, sometimes 11 o'clock at night on weekends. So, you know, behind great coaches is a great family and a great set of wives and in-laws and parents and everybody else that is involved in the making of a great team. Thank you.
If you'd like to go around. Come on. Yeah, of course. Yep.
She can't.
I also want to identify school committee chair members Coben and school committee chairperson Nate Cornell for being here. Thank you both for being here.
And I also would like to recognize William McCaffrey, the new director of secondary education for the city of Warwick.
Thank you. So while we're getting settled, we are under general communications. Are there any other general communications from council members? Anything else? As we did say in one of the committees, and I'll mention again now, I'd like to thank Senator Whitehouse and also Mr. Fugate for agreeing to host one of those seminars that they've been doing around the state here in Warwick on April 13th from 6 to 8. I think it'll be very educational, and that will be at Tollgate High School. If there are no other general communications, the next item on the agenda is the acceptance of minutes from council meetings held on January 22nd. Do I have a motion for favorable action? Councilman Lattiser. Seconded by Councilman McAllister. Also, could I have a motion for approval in the minutes of February 3rd, 2020?
Favorable action.
Seconded by Councilman McAllister. And also,
Mr. President?
Yes.
I apologize. I need to abstain from the February 3rd.
And we'll, okay, so let's take a vote on each one then.
Thank you.
On January 2nd, we'll just take a voice. On January 22nd, thank you. We'll take a voice vote on that to approve the minutes on January 22nd, 2020. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. And the minutes from January 22nd, 2020 have been approved. Do you want to... Attorney Conley, there's one person that's going to abstain. We usually do a voice vote. We could do a voice vote, but mention his abstention. Okay. So we have had a motion and seconded for February 3rd, 2020 minutes. Councilman Howe will abstain. Is there any other questions on that? If not, a yes is to approve. So all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? So February 3rd, 2020 minutes stand approved. Next item is February 24th, 2020 minutes. Could I have a motion for favorable?
Favorable action.
Seconded by Councilman McAllister. Any comments? If not, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 All those opposed? And the ayes have it, and the minutes have been approved for February 24th, 2020. Announcement of appointments, there are none. Announcements requiring confirmation, there are none. Before we get to the consent calendar, without objection, I was going to move to the matter PCR 2920, and I understand that the school department is presentation on that. If they could approach and make that presentation. And there was a recommendation from finance before we do that, Councilman? Just was that to bring it?
It was
to
moved
floor?
To the floor for discussion. Okay. Move favorable to the floor for discussion.
Okay. And is there a second, Councilman McAllister? Councilman, okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And so, excuse me. And counsel has advised us, and I will mention, if there are any members of the public that want to comment, since there wasn't a comment in at the Finance Committee, they will be allowed to. So with that said, I'll turn the presentation over to the school committee and adjourn to a place where I can see.
Thank you, President Merola. Steve Gothberg, Director of Construction for the School Department, council members. Per your request, you're looking for a presentation on the estimate for the fields, potentially for the bond for both Tollgate and Pilgrim. We have retained the PAR group, so I am going to have David Potter and Art Eddy do their presentation for you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, council members, for listening to this presentation tonight. We put this together at the request of Warwick Public Schools to talk about athletic improvements at the two high schools, the Tollgate High School and the Pilgrim High School. My name is David Potter. I work for PAR Corporation. We are a Rhode Island consulting engineering firm. We are celebrating our 50th year. We're based in Lincoln, Rhode Island. We also have an office in Foxborough. We've got about 110 professionals, most of which are engineers, wetland scientists, and other support staff. We are working with Traverse Landscape Architects, of which we have worked with over 10 years designing synthetic field projects, K through 12 schools throughout Rhode Island and Massachusetts. Some of our most recent work is shown here. We've got a project in Pawtucket, the Max Reed Field, synthetic turf and track at Lincoln High School, Cumberland, Johnston. Right now, we just finished the synthetic turf at North Kingstown High School, and the track is set to be paved this coming spring. We've also got projects underway at Buckland Park and Conley in Providence. So we've been at the through the K through 12 work, we've gained a lot of experience with these synthetic turf fields. It's a real niche. It's a growing field. It's a growing industry. There's a new products coming out every year, and everything's changing very quickly. And we've been seeing that transition over the last 10, 15 years. Probably greater for art. So the project scope that we've provided was to give an overall review of what synthetic turf field projects include, an idea of what the construction costs, considerations might be, talk about maintenance requirements, and life cycle, the replacement of the turf field, which is an important element to planning one of these projects, to make sure that you think about not only the installation, but also how it's going to be maintained and eventually reconstructed when needed. We developed a tiered concept plan for both high schools with varying levels of improvements to give an idea of cost associated with each of the concepts. The costs that we have prepared are order of magnitude. We've been working on this for about 3.5 weeks, so we've done limited field review, we've reviewed available record information, we've used available GIS information to develop these costs, but I do want to warn that these are not full schematic design drawings. We have not gone to that level of design, simply to provide some kind of a order of magnitude cost for budgeting and planning purposes. So we'll run through synthetic turf fields, the basics, so you can get an idea of what's involved. We'll talk about the concept plans that we've prepared for each of the high schools. We'll go through existing and proposed conditions, and then we'll talk about order of magnitude costs and maintenance.
Thank you. I would like to say one thing, council members. I really appreciate wrestlers getting awards, because I'm a wrestler, and it's not often I get to come to a public meeting where wrestlers get recognized. I wrestled my whole life. My kids wrestled, so it's actually kind of really cool, so I thought that was really impressive. I'm Arthur Eddy from Traverse Landscape Architects. I've been designing fields for over 13 years. I have over 30 synthetic turf fields, over 50 grass fields. It's kind of, I'm the head of a landscape architecture company. I'm an owner and principal, but I also head up the athletics division. So that's all I do in my daily life is work on athletics and make sure that what we're doing in athletics is correct. We're a systems-based company. As Dave mentioned, there's a lot of changes that are...
You have to talk into the mic.
Okay.
Thank you.
There's a lot of changes that are happening and occurring in synthetic turf fields, and really paying attention to how systems operate and what your system's needs are. Whether you're playing a multi-use sport, a really single-eyed sport like field hockey, the systems change. And we really think about how do we develop systems that are safe, that perform at the highest quality, and really start to mimic your highest level natural grass fields. So there's a wide range of turf systems. Typically what we see in a high school, there's really three types of fibers in synthetic turf. There's what's called a monofilament, which is just a single strand of fiber. There's a slit film, which is a web. And then there's what's called a thatch, which mimics grass thatch. Over the years, on a multi-use field where we see a lot of sports, really at the municipal high school level, we've seen what's a hybrid system, which is a combination of those synthetic turf systems. So you get long use, durability, and performance out of a system like that. And that would be similar to something that we would recommend, especially looking at the two fields that we looked at. Infills, there's a lot of discussions about different types of infill, whether it's crumb rubber and sand, all the different types of organics, sand-based systems, there's now wood-based systems, there's cork, coconut, corkanut, which are your organic-based systems. In this instance, we looked at an organic-based system, and that's what we used in this pricing. And recently, over the last few years, is the introduction of shock pads. A shock pad is an underlayment that goes underneath the turf, really starts to deal with concussions, and make sure that your turf, over the life of your turf, stays at a level that's below what the NFL currently requires and what ASTM requires. So that impact from head injury is really absorbed in that turf system and in that pad system. So we've looked at an underlayment in this system as well. I don't build turf fields over the last 3 years. I haven't done any turf fields without an underlayment system underneath it. And what's the benefit? Why do a synthetic turf? Obviously, the longer seasons, when you're getting in your rainy seasons and your spring and fall, and you're looking at extending that season, you can get on the fields earlier. Even if it's raining, you can still utilize them. They drain really fast. And what you end up with is a longer season. You also can use them longer, so than a natural grass system. Your hours of use on that system is extended. You really shouldn't be playing over 500 hours a year on a grass system, where you can go up to 3,500 hours of use on a synthetic turf system. Now, you're not really going to get to 3,500 hours of use. It's hard to get there, but you're really seeing really building three fields in one. So you can get off that field and send the next team out and keep playing on it. And then the long-term cost versus investment. The initial cost of a synthetic turf is obviously higher than what you would pay for a natural grass system. But what happens over time, because you build that first system, you build drainage, your stone, your curbing, all those systems go in, and then at the next recycling of that turf, you're just recycling just the turf product, which brings that cost down. So when you look at the life cycle by hours of use, over 30 years, when you hit that 30 years of investment is when you get your return on investment to zero. What you do get out of it is that close to 10,000 hours of use versus that 1,500 hours of use. And then performance and safety. We're always checking our fields, and what we do within our contracts and what we do with all fields is make sure that it's annually getting tested for both performance for head injury criteria, for leg injuries, lower leg extremity injuries, and then make sure that the maintenance is happening on that field as well. So that's all built into this package. When you start to see these numbers, these are all included. The equipment for grooming is included, and maintenance is a critical part of keeping that field safe and performing at the level that it should be.
So we'll jump into the school projects themselves. So we'll start with Pilgrim High School. I have up here on the screen a map of existing conditions. North is up on the plan. Right now there's an existing natural turf field. We've got a track. The track was in good shape when we saw it. It had been treated just a few years ago. And then there's bleachers on the north side and bleachers on the south side, parking to the west. One thing we noted here was the flat topography of the site. There's not a lot of hill here. Everything's it's very flat. Our concern here was first drainage. Where is the stormwater going from the site? And to jump ahead a little, when we design a synthetic turf field, we're going from a natural surface to an impervious surface. And DEM requires us to infiltrate that runoff and treat it like we would any parking area. What we typically do for synthetic turf fields is we build pipe systems beneath the fields to take that runoff and infiltrate it. So that requires construction of a new pipe around the perimeter, we call it a manifold, and then an overflow pipe that leaves the track. On this site, the drainage consists of some yard drains that were put in after the field was constructed around the perimeter. We had gone out there on a Tuesday, and on that Sunday before, it rained pretty hard, and we didn't see very many signs of ponding. So it leads us to believe that there's some good soils out there that will accept water. However, we didn't see any evidence of piping going across that track. So in our assessment of this facility, that's a key for how we're going to manage our stormwater that's generated by this new field. We also noticed that the grass field to the south is also very flat and seems to send runoff to a low point around the bleacher area over here. So something else that we have to keep in mind. We didn't have time or budget for test pits, but as you jump in, if you were to move forward with this proposal, the next steps would be to look at groundwater conditions, soils conditions, and that would help you get a better idea of what you could do with the stormwater management generated from the new site. A few other items of note, there are no restrooms on the site right now. The bleachers are fixed. They don't meet the current ADA code, and access to the bleachers meeting ADA is something that would need to be upgraded as well. So for the purposes of this concept, again, being conservative here, being a order of magnitude level, we are assuming that we have a groundwater table that's pretty elevated. That's typically what you'd see in Rhode Island, somewhere around 4 feet or so.
So based on that information, what we looked at was tier one improvements and what those components were. One, we have to address ADA accessibility by rule. One, we also know that we have to install the synthetic turf track and amenities. We did two things with the track, basically based on what Dave said, was looking at if we do have to cut across the track, that means we probably have to redo the track. If we don't have to do that, we looked at an internal system. And when you start to look at the balance of those costs, they're generally within the same range. So if we don't have to make those improvements in the future, there is some cost savings there, but we accounted for them in this go around. Once you make those improvements, you have to improve your bleachers because you're gonna hit ADA access on those bleachers. So your bleacher becomes, and press box becomes part of that component. Once you do your bleachers, you also have to improve your concessions and restrooms because you need restrooms on site based on the International Building Code. So when we looked at that tier one, we were trying to break these apart, but they're all contingent on each other. So that project alone is a $4.15 million project. And when we looked at tier two, basically what we did here was add athletic field lighting at about $600,000. So that's four lights and LED lights on that field would meet regulations for that. Keep in mind, we did carry a heavy contingency. We did carry overhead and bond, and we did carry design. So that number there is a complete project cost, not just a construction cost.
So next we have the Tollgate High School. This site, unlike the Pilgrim site, has quite a bit of topography. We went out with the school department on that Tuesday and looked around. We see a lot of ledge outcrops, a lot of evidence of rock on the site. We did poke around and we felt in the center of the field, and we felt a hard pan, which we could be rock, about 18 inches below grade at the center of the field. One thing here, that this field does have quite a pitch from the track to the center of the field. It looks to be about 1.5 feet or so from that edge to that crown, that ridge. We would anticipate that to build this field, that's going to be a big factor, is where that rock is. You're going to have underground improvements to mitigate drainage. You're going to have certain separation that you need from that ledge to build your turf system. You can't be right on top of it because it'll be hard, right? You need something separating. So that was a big focus of our discussions in coming up with a solution. It also led us to think about stormwater management, which right now there is a pipe that goes under that track and discharges out to the fields to the north of the site. So we know that there is at least some pipe connection there. There are storage facilities on site. There are also fixed bleachers with a building that was prepared. There are no restrooms, but there are certainly bleachers and some improvements that are already existing. Which is helpful. The thought here is that the bleachers could be modified to meet ADA requirements. I'll let Art jump into that.
Go ahead. So in this instance, you can see we actually pulled the bleachers out of this because your current bleachers actually meet ADA accessibility. So those bleachers could remain in place. We do know that we can't keep the track based on grading and having to lift that surface up. So in this instance, we're doing ADA access as tier one components. We're looking at the synthetic turf track and its amenities, and then concessions restrooms at about 3.6 million. And then tier two, which you can go ahead. We added the bleachers and press box. In this instance, which brings us to 4.2, and then tier three was again lights, athletic field lights at the end, adding four lights, giving you the extended use on that field.
The stormwater management approach on the Tollgate School was a simple manifold, which is what you'd see in a conventional synthetic turf design, and some stormwater management, we believed, in the area to the north. We'd find some area outside of the field to try to minimize the cost for rock removal and try to stretch the funding to reduce how much we spend on stormwater. And so the next steps to move forward with reviewing this would really be to step back and look at your program. We've got some order of magnitude costs, some concepts here, but really some discussion to understand what the athletic department would need, what would be required, develop some sort of a budget, and establish a schedule. Art and I have seen a very sharp increase in year-over-year pricing from the synthetic turf industry as the economy has increased. Other construction markets have also increased, I'm sure. The council is aware of that, but the synthetic turf market, again, with the increased demand, has also been seeing some pretty notable increases. So schedule certainly is a factor. We would the next steps when ready would be to evaluate the existing conditions in a little more detail. We typically do soils testing to understand where the groundwater table, and that helps us really budget and allocate funding to stormwater management. The numbers we're giving you here were based on what we thought was the worst case scenario, which is certainly realistic, but as you get more information, you'll know which way that number, the order of magnitude costs might swing. So it's important to understand that early on in your project so you can get a good picture of what the total project cost would be. And then from there, once you've got a good handle on existing conditions, you'd want to prepare schematic design, permitting, construction documents, so on and so forth, like a normal construction project. And that's it. We'll be happy to answer any questions or any discussion from the council or member.
Council President, if I may?
Yeah, I was just going to make a comment and then I can recognize you if that's
please,
okay.
Please, go ahead.
Yeah. So thank you for that presentation. Just to give some framework around what we're looking at. Pretty much everyone around us has turf fields. Obviously, in our own city, Hendricken does. But you go from Lincoln to Johnston to Cumberland, start heading south, East Greenwich, Coventry. Cranston is just putting in their second turf field. You're looking at Narragansett, South Kingstown, North Kingstown. I don't know if I mentioned Coventry. I really think with a lot, I don't know if Providence has them too, right? Three. Providence has three. So, you know, you walk up around, I mean, it's incredible. And what's unique here, and I don't know if the chairwoman or the of the school committee or the superintendent wanted, what's unique here is the reimbursement rate, because I've never seen it, as long as I've been on the council, that the governor put in $1 billion for schools. And I know at some point we're going to be addressing a school bond referendum. So that to me is a unique opportunity with this project. And the other issue has to do with income, especially when there's lights. And I was actually up for most of the weekend in Lancaster, Massachusetts, at their turf fields for an NEFC soccer tournament the whole weekend. And there are really no tournaments like that they have in Rhode Island. Everybody has to travel up to Massachusetts for things like that, just because their facilities are so much better. But these organizations that are soccer organizations, I think there are at least six or seven of them in Rhode Island where the kids pay to play and travel. Same with lacrosse and many of the other organizations that are playing competitive, not only in New England, but outside New England. I know that those organizations, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with the rentals that they get, but basically the way that it works is, especially if you have lights, anything after 5:30 in the evening, most of our teams are done practicing or playing for the evening, unless it's a night game. And these organizations are renting these fields from, say, 5:30 to 9 o'clock at night. And believe it or not, when it's nice weather out like it was today in March, they're even playing in January. And then they have their games on Sundays when none of our students or teams are using the fields. One contract for that type of commitment brings in over $100,000 a year. And if you can get two contracts, you could bring in close to $200,000 a year. So I just think that it's time that we stop the bleeding with our students leaving for better opportunities and better facilities and better buildings in other areas through that pathway program. And I think that this is a step in the right direction, along with fixing the school buildings. I'm excited about the proposals that you have. I know the council members, I've talked to a lot of them, they want to absorb this also, and I know several of them have questions also. But it's about time, and this is the time, as far as I'm concerned, to get this done because of the reimbursement and the ability to raise revenue. But Councilman Ricks, you had also a question.
Well, thank you. And thank you for your presentation. I won't rehash all of my comments from before, but I suppose very quickly, for all of those reasons, the reimbursement rate, the stopping the bleeding, if you will, with students looking at those opportunities to play sports in neighboring communities, and that because of the transfer of the funds that probably amounts to literally hundreds of thousands of dollars a year that could be stemmed by having the same facilities here in Warwick and the ability to generate revenue. So on both ends of that spectrum, from stopping the bleeding to actively generating revenue, especially with the kind of reimbursement we're getting, it just makes sense on all levels. But my question has to do with the lighting. For me to get a better sense of where the trends are going and also what's out there, I'm not sure if you know how many schools, as in high schools, have fields that have lighting in Rhode Island, and is this an increasing trend the last 10, 20 years, or, well, if I could get a little insight on that.
Sure. I don't know offhand the exact numbers of which schools have lights, but typically most schools have a lighted field, which would be a primary field. And lighting has changed in the last 5 to 10 years. We're now moving to an LED system with a brighter white light. But the lighting industry, when you purchase lights, has a 25-year warranty, and that's top to bottom. So a bulb goes out, they come out and change it. And that's always been true, so that's not something new. What's new is the LED lighting, which is getting better light on the field and improved, obviously reduce usage. What it does for you specifically on synthetic turf is gives you those extra extended hours of use. So when you know, I showed that graphic that showed a 3-to-1 with lights, you really go to another field. So you get to 4-to-1. So it really affords you an extra level of another field construction.
Thank you.
Council President.
Councilman Sinapi.
So last meeting, we did talk about this a bunch, but there was a lot of misinformation going around that I wanted to clarify. I went to the Ride School Construction update meeting at the end of February, and they clarified for everyone who attended, including Brian Sylvia from Finance, that there is no rush as far as getting a limited pot or a limited timeline on any potential reimbursement, if one was even available. The only requirement is to have a construction contract signed by December 31st, 2022. So it's just to clarify that part, and as far as any limited pot of money, there is none. A lot of people have been throwing out a $100 million number, thinking it was a limited amount, or $250 million, when in fact RIDE, because we asked them at this meeting, has given out well over 700 in commitments this year. That limited pot of money that people being mistaken on is regarding...
Councilman, could you speak up? I'm so sorry. I can't hear you.
No worries. The limited pot of money was in regards to the PAYGO money, where even if that did run out, it doesn't change the amount of money you get. It just changes the manner in which you receive a portion of it. And even in regards to that money, that is slated to remain available till at least May 2021, as of now. And bear in mind, by all these comments, I'm not suggesting we shouldn't do a field. Quite the opposite, we badly need one, or I should say two. I don't think anyone questions that, at least I hope not, because the facts clearly show we need the fields. What I'm pointing out is, even though I'm the sponsor of this bill, remember that I sponsored this bill so that the efforts by others to add it to the other bond for phase two didn't endanger that bond, because per the finance director for the school department, adding this to the phase two bond endangered it from being going down altogether by RIDE and then not approving it. That's why I separated this out. My hope in the long run is that we combine this with our phase three request for the high schools, thus making it more marketable, frankly, to the average person. Because, I mean, if I'm looking at a ballot and I see three school bond things as opposed to two, or one school bond thing as opposed to two, I know how I'd lean, so I don't want to stack the deck against this getting approved. And I know, frankly, that the way this went about was not ideal, because the school committee actually explicitly said they didn't want this being done the way it's being done here. And I'm not terribly happy that I was forced to separate this out and put it forward against their wishes, and against my own wishes, frankly, from those who were here with me at the council meeting, prematurely, rather than letting it be part of the phase three efforts, which wouldn't delay it at all. In fact, it might get it done sooner. That being said, this presentation speaks for itself, and I'm glad they did it. I know personally I plan to move to hold this at the end of discussion, and I know some of my colleagues have other things to say.
So I just wanted to comment before I recognize Councilman McAllister, Councilman Sinapi, and I agree with you that this should be combined. As you will recall, when you and I spoke and I suggested that we put forth a bond referendum for Fields, I think all of our concern was that we didn't know what phase the school committee was at with regard to the high school issue. And as you know, Councilman Sinapi, we've been working together, I think, since July. We've had many meetings with the school department talking about a bond for schools. And I think I agree with you that we should proudly hold this and combine this with the other bond referendum. I, too, went to RIDE, and it was in the fall, to talk about bonding and to talk about timing and talk about urgency of situations. So I agree with some of what you said regarding the way that it's funded, but I did want to call up either Mr. Ferrucci or Mr. Thornton to address that issue of timing and what your understanding is as far as when something should go on the ballot, if you could address that for us.
Okay. Good evening. Anthony Ferrucci, the Finance Director for the School Department. My understanding of the regulations, I understand there is a timeline with regards to various incentives that's been promulgated. The essence of what we're, I think, talking about tonight is, if this is going to be a ballot question for November 2020, if this were to stand alone, the likelihood of getting 35% reimbursement on this particular project from RIDE would be determined in May of 2021, because we'd have to go through the cycle. We missed the most recent cycle. And standing alone, it would not be in a position to take any of the incentives that are attached to the 35% base. The 5% are attached to student enrollment, efficiencies within buildings, and those types of expenditures. So it would be the most, I believe, available with 35%, and we'd have to prove that it's a new field. If we just strip the dirt that exists and put in a field, it would be considered a repair or replacement, and that's not eligible. If we tie it to a project that we've been talking about, which is a secondary ed, in its entirety with regards to the building, then it just becomes a subcomponent of the total project, at which point the efficiencies we would be gaining in the buildings when we do the renovations would get us that 5% bump. But because the field was part of the total package for the site, that would then get embedded in those incentives. And so we would be going after the full 52% through the process in the upcoming cycle. I believe the separation is where we create a problem, but as we know, the timeline of extending it, they still have a timeline out to 2028, I believe, was the last I heard for a date. But what was just also heard was a cautionary tale of 2 years ago when we created budgets and all of a sudden construction took off, we started seeing cost escalators of 10 and 15%. So I would also put on the table, not only is the reimbursement piece something we will pursue. But delaying it 2 years or a year, you're going to add that 10 to 15% cost increment increase to a potential project, thereby really reducing the state aid reimbursement as well. We championed last meeting to try and understand what the community's real interest is in a project of this scope. And I'm hoping this evening there's some direction to bring back to the school committee, because they are going to be hearing from the secondary aid consultant in early April. And I would assume that the school committee would take the educational consultant's report and the community's interest in including the fields and probably meld them together and come back with a plan by the tail end of April, so that we can kind of get a general direction of where we're going and hopefully line up what our next steps would be.
And Mr. Frucci, from what I remember, I know Councilman Lattisaw had attended one of the meetings at Ride. What I recall was that $1 billion was on a first-come, first-serve basis to the communities in Rhode Island.
Of course, there's only a limited amount of resources at the state level. So, yes, that's the first hoop. And then the second hoop is being compliant with their requirements, which is what we do currently, yes.
And as I recall, East Providence just built a new high school. Lincoln put in for their huge addition on their high school. Barrington just built their brand new junior high school. $1 billion goes relatively quickly, and I haven't mentioned any of the other communities and what they're doing. So that is concerning to me as far as timing, Councilman Sinapi. We are in a unique position in that our city council solicitor also happens to be the chairman of the Rhode Island Senate Finance Committee. So I was just going to ask him for a second if there was, you know, you've been doing this obviously a long time, Mr. Conley, and you have a pretty good idea of what our budget looks like. And as far as timing goes, is there a plan to reimburse it? That $1 billion, is there, would that be available in the future? Are we going to re-up that amount? I just was getting your thoughts as far as timing goes, because you see what's left in those funds and you see the issues that the state has with financing of other issues and the limited amount of resources that we have. And I was just wondering if you had some insight as to what would happen at the state level in the future.
Certainly, Mr. President. So I would certainly defer to the current information that Councilor Sinapi received from RIDE on the current status. But there is a finite amount of money available based upon the original bond and legislation that we passed. And nobody in the state, I say this respectfully, you always hope that a program that can do what this can through for all schools throughout the state of Rhode Island would see another round, but that's all that is. That's hope. I would not take that to the bank in terms of a hope that there would be a future second round. I don't want to sound optimistic. I'm not speaking as a matter of policy, but as a matter of practicality on the budget. I am not going to feel comfortable responding to you, Mr. President, and the council that the council should, or any other city or town or school department throughout the state, should count on a second round of funding for this.
So if we had an option to go for a 2020 ballot referendum or a 2022 ballot referendum, what would your suggestion be?
Without commenting on any of the other policy concerns that have been discussed, but really just looking at it from the point of view of the state budget, get it while you can. And that's not a comment on any of the other important policy considerations that are being discussed by the council and other communities around the state. But when the money's there, it's the time to get it, not to hope for future funding.
And I think, thank you, Mr. Conley. I think when we had gone to ride Mr. Thornton and Mr. Ferrucci, they had talked about the ability, and I think you touched on it, Mr. Ferrucci, if you could come to the microphone, that even though the bond referendum would be the fall of 2020, that just gives the voters in Warwick an opportunity to say whether they're in favor of the project and how much they're in favor of. As I've sat here on this council for a long time, Councilwoman Travis has sat here even longer than I have, we've seen projects change. We've seen mayors hold bond referendums. We've seen costs go up. We've seen at Tollgate them run it, the construction company run into ledge, and they had to go out to another bond referendum to fix it. So the issue that I hear and that I'm concerned about based on the number of years that I've seen these bond referendums come up is that it is really unheard of that we'd have an opportunity to get access to $1 billion and at up to 52%. My own opinion is give the voters the opportunity in the fall, subject to RIDE approval, and RIDE said that we could do that, correct?
That's correct, they will.
And address some of these issues, possible cost escalations, or maybe, you know, as we see the market tumbling today, 2,000 points in the cost of oil go down, etc., maybe these synthetic turf fields would come down in price. But, you know, that could be determined in the future. No matter what happens, that would come back to future councils and would come back to future mayors to make those determinations, whether the city wants to approve it, and also with the school department. If the city wants to approve the release of those bonds and whatever the final project is that RIDE has agreed to reimburse. I just agree with Senator Conley as to his assessment also as to the chance of being reimbursed or that fund being fully funded in the future. And I also agree with Councilman Sinapi that the best chance to get the most reimbursement in the future is to combine this with the building and a field issue. With that said, Councilman McAllister.
Thank you. I think we're all, you know, we all want to make this happen. I think we just need to, you know, make sure we work on the details and do the best way forward. And that's what we got to work out here tonight and in the future. I just have a couple of questions with the steps that were shown tonight with the new fields and stuff like that. Now, those are on top of, we would replace what we already have. But as you said, and I have a statement from RIDE, that would not be part, that would not be reimbursable.
We actually had this conversation with RIDE previously, and they would be willing to work with us because they would consider it a new field. It could be a realignment for purposes to take advantage of other spaces on the sites. It could be shifting because of the types of drain area issues and those kinds of things. So that left me with the impression that unless we just go right in and just stay inside the track, for instance, at Pilgrim and just put the surface in, that would present a problem because it's not new. But if we shifted it for various reasons to accommodate other issues, they would classify it as new. So that's how we would attack that particular issue.
Okay. Yep. I mean, that's very good news. Because it was in the beacon itself, it says, according to the statement from RIDE, renovated field expenses are not covered in the reimbursement process, but new ones are. So we have kind of floated this this plan here, all new drainage, you know, the ADA, all that stuff. So
that would be our tact, and you'd probably see a realignment of the field to accommodate the area. That was my understanding of the definition of new.
Done that, okay. And again, I believe that, you know, we're all on the same page. This is, you know, long overdue. This would be a major asset to the city of Warwick. I just want to make sure that we're going about it in the right way. I was really interested to read about how these new fields, you know, safety issues. You talked about concussions, which is a major issue. These are all very important things. I know we have one of the coaches here. He's pointed out in the past, and I graduated from Tollgate a long time ago. You know, the field hockey team plays at CCRI. You know, it'd be nice to have everybody playing together. So I think, you know, at least in my opinion, you know, we want to get this done. I just want to make sure it's done the best way. We get the best reimbursement. Don't want to jeopardize any other projects, but, you know, but take advantage of this opportunity. Thank you.
Councilwoman Travis.
Thank you. First of all, I want to thank you for your presentation, and it's really good to see it in black and white, what you're actually talking about doing. And it's definitely long overdue in for both fields, you know. I know, and I'm just bringing it up because I have past experience of not trusting people. So that's why in black and white, I really take it to heart. But in Vets, well, many years ago, we had a problem with the fields there. Different administration, different school committee. I was there. But we had one of our football players got caught under his eye with some glass. And they actually got the sand from the compost station. So we're all meeting, everybody's meeting, the superintendent, everybody. And I guess they thought I didn't know how to read blueprints, but the blueprint was on the table and you could see all the dotted lines down the middle of the field. And, you know, nobody said anything. And I asked, I says, don't tell me that means you're only going to replace the sand or the dirt in the middle of this field. And they said, oh, and they tried, you know, pass the buck and not answer. And they said, oh, yeah. I said, but you got the whole field. Glass could have went anywhere. I know when I frost a cake, I don't do just the middle of the cake. I do a whole cake. And I insisted that they, you know, did that whole field. But there was nothing in black and white saying what they were going to do. So this is very important. And, you know, it's very much needed. And I appreciate the work you put in it. So thank you very much.
And I think that that's a great point that Councilwoman Travis raised. And I think that what you're talking about, that barrier would run across the whole field, as Councilman McAllister, for head injuries, etc. So I think that that's great. And I think what Mr. Ferrucci was saying about the creativity of how to put bond referendums before ride, at least when I was there, I heard them say the same thing. Even Mr. Ferrucci at one point mentioned if there was a ledge or something like that, blasting would be considered a new field, for example, if there was ledge at Tollgate. So it's just a really unique opportunity to get back up to 52%. And as I said, if you can get something on in the fall, doesn't mean that we have to, or any council has to approve this later on, or any administration, but it just gives the voters the opportunity to say yes or no, and the school committee, the council, and the administration to figure out what the best plan is to try and get that 52% reimbursement. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. So I'm hearing different things tonight. I'm hearing something different than I heard at the last meeting, which is RIDE may not kick in any reimbursement on this. And we're hearing that they may, depending upon how things are done. I also heard this evening that the school committee or members of the school committee don't support this particular endeavor. And in a few minutes, I'm going to ask if someone from the school committee would come forth to the podium and square up as to what their position is. I've also heard that this is being pushed through or rushed through. And I don't see it that way. I've had conversation with the General Assembly or with members of the General Assembly, and I think we'd all agree that we can send this to the General Assembly and comfortably by the first part of May that this can get acted on in both chambers. I've heard that we shouldn't confuse the voters. I have a lot of confidence in the voters to be able to disseminate through different articles that are in or on the ballot. And that's how I view this. We have a pot of money sitting in the State House, in the governor's office, and I view that as a line of credit. When that line of credit has reached its max, if you have a $100,000 line of credit and you draw up to your $100,000, you're done. There is no more money. And when there's a lot of communities, potentially up to 39 communities, who are looking to reach into that pot and get their fair share, that money can disappear, and it can disappear quickly. My viewpoint on this is, do I support the concept of the fields in one of the three different forms? Absolutely I do. Do I think it's necessary? I absolutely do. But I think for me, what's more important in my decision is I feel that I have an obligation to let the voters make the decisions. I'm not asking anyone to cut a check for $10 million for these fields. I'm not saying that RIDE is going to reimburse us or not reimburse us. Perhaps we can have someone from RIDE come to this council and let's hear from RIDE directly. I don't like hearing things third party. Maybe we can hear directly from RIDE as to what the reality is of what's going to qualify and what's not going to qualify. I personally would like to see that happen. And I think it's been alluded to with the conversation I had earlier in the week, last week, that is a possibility. But for me, the decision that I'm looking to make is very simple. An appropriation up to $10,000 to do two new fields for X, Y, and Z, whichever plan works best. All that is saying is let's put it on the ballot. Let's let the people who are paying the bills, let's them take, millions of dollars. Let's let them make the decision. I don't want to make that decision by myself or by ourselves. I think that's a very important decision that the people who are paying the bills and the voters in the city of Warwick, all I'm asking you to do is let's get this on the ballot. Let's let the voters decide. Let's let them say to us, yes, we want to do it. We want to take advantage of this. Whatever the reimbursement is from RIDE, pending a reimbursement from RIDE, and let them done. Let them make the decision. I have the faith, the trust, and the confidence that the voters are going to make the decision that they feel is in the best interest of the city of Warwick. And that's all I personally am asking to do. And my vote is going to be to make that happen, to let this go to the ballot and let the voters give us the direction as to what they want to do in their city of Warwick. Thank you, Mr. President.
Chairwoman Backus, could you come to the mic?
Thank you.